You're listening to The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Hello, comrades. This is your host of The Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I'm happy to be here with you today. Joining me is Mr. Jason Augustus. Jason, how are you doing?
Fantastic this morning, Mr. Heimbach.
In need of some more caffeine, I think, but you're here, and it's an exciting day to be here. Now, one of the topics we're going to be discussing, unless you didn't know, this is an anti-Semitic show, is, of course, going to be the Jews. But within that context, today is Good Friday, both on the Eastern and the Western calendars. Things are synced up together. They're not always synced up together due to the old calendar versus the newer Western calendar. But this year, they line up together. And for those of you who know, who are practicing High Church Christians, we are here on Good Friday. So today is the day in which Christ was crucified. Those of us in the High Church traditions have been going through Holy Week this week, which is the preparations for this. And it's kind of an amazing thing. Last weekend was Palm Sunday, and being able to see Palm Sunday, where Christ comes into Jerusalem and the people are so happy to see him, they're laying these palm reeds in front of him as he is coming into the city. What happens then, of course, a week later is his brutal beating and then eventually his crucifixion. And what changed within that period of time? What leads us to the cross? And of course, considering the Romans are involved a little bit, I've got a Roman pagan to join me to discuss Good Friday, because that's what we do here at The Daily Traditionalist. We try and keep things getting a variety of perspectives. But, what we know, for those of you who have followed the biblical stories, we know that Jesus comes into Jerusalem, and the Pharisees, of course, these Jewish leaders, don't like what Christ has been doing, because what has he been doing? And before him, John the Baptist, as we also know, St. John the Forerunner. St. John the Forerunner is actually my patron saint, a loudmouth that didn't care what the Jewish establishment thought, but was going to stand up for the truth under all circumstances. And of course, the Jews had him killed because they didn't like what he was saying, because they said, well, your money and your false piety had nothing to do with virtue. It had nothing to do with God's law. You're really just self-grandizing at this point. And they didn't like that, so they had St. John the Forerunner killed. They had him beheaded. And then they were trying to work on what they could do against Jesus. They, of course, wanted to kill Jesus, because Jesus was saying radical things like, again, your Jewish money doesn't mean anything. When he went to the temple and he saw the Jews outside the temple desecrating a house of the Lord, by selling money, by lending money, by doing all these sorts of things, Jesus, when they say being Christ-like, remember, being Christ-like can involve making your own whip and beating a bunch of Jews and driving them out of the temple. That is, when a modern Christian in the West who is not a nationalist, is not a traditionalist, says, well, you might be right, but that's just not very Christ-like. Just remember that that literally driving the bankers from the house of the Lord is an entirely Christ-like thing to do. They didn't like that. These Jewish authorities didn't like that. But of course, the Jewish authorities are cowards. They knew that there would be a lot of problems if they themselves went and grabbed Jesus in the middle of the night and killed him. So they went against the Romans. They wanted the Romans to do it. Of course, the Romans were currently occupying Palestine. And if any of you have seen Life of Brian, man, that movie has some blasphemy in it. But there is that famous scene where they're talking about, what have the Romans ever done for us? Roads. Schools. Healthcare. The aqueducts. Like, well, yes, but besides all the things like schools, public safety, healthcare, the aqueducts, what have they ever done for us? Nothing. That's basically the relationship there. Thanks to the Romans for bringing civilization and modern technology to the region. But they wanted to go ahead and have the Romans do the dirty work, because unless you guys might see a reoccurring theme, Jews like to be able to get Gentiles to do their dirty work for them. They're cowards. They don't like to get their hands dirty. They like to force other people to do it. And if you look at the nature of the Jew, we can see it here in Holy Week. Of course, Jesus is brought before Pontius Pilate, And Pontius Pilate is, he's a just man. He's a very reasonable man. He's had a very long career in the Roman military. And he says that I find no fault with this man. That, you know, he talks to Jesus, he investigates the case, and the Romans were very dedicated to the principles of justice. And he said, I can't find a crime here. I can't find anything wrong with this man. So what are you doing? And thinking, reasonably, that the people, of course, there was a tradition, here we are at one of the feast days, that a prisoner would be released. So knowing that Jesus didn't do anything wrong, putting him up against Barabbas. Barabbas was a murderer, he was a thug, he was a degenerate, not a good guy. So Pontius Pilate, of course, in the spirit of justice, says, well, let's have the people decide who is going to be freed. And he says, this scumbag over here, or this guy that hasn't done anything. And again, these Jewish authorities in the crowd, they of course, with their propaganda, with their lies, they do this time and time again in every single country they can get their hands in. You know, they get the crowd, they manipulate the crowd into crying, crucify him, crucify him. Putting Pontius Pilate in a bit of a rough position because he thought this was going to be an duh decision. But the Jews don't care about justice. The Jews don't care about what's right. They actually want to destroy what is right. And we get to the point where the Jewish authorities are threatening to rebel. They're threatening to kill Roman soldiers, to throw absolutely everything out the window. And of course, Pontius Pilate's wife, herself a Roman pagan, experiences in dreams that Jesus Christ is a good and an honorable man and that he should be spared. And we see this truth being brought out that, you know, whether you're a Christian or not, that Christ was the epitome of virtue. And this crossed not just within Christian lines, but here we are with the Roman pagans saying that this is a virtuous and righteous man. And it is the Jews that are pushing for his execution. And of course, eventually it leads to the point where with these threats, which the Jews always do, Christ ends up being crucified. And today is the anniversary of which we celebrate, but remember the crucifixion of Christ. So I've been talking a lot, but I want to go ahead and turn it over to Jason now that we've laid the scene and talk a little bit about, because you've talked a lot on the show and stuff before about virtue and you coming from a Roman pagan perspective, kind of what your thoughts are on Good Friday. Because here we are with Roman pagans on one side, with the Christians, when you really look at it, of, Christ is virtuous. He is fighting the Jewish authorities, and these Jewish authorities are the ones that want injustice and murder. So it's a very interesting position, and here we are again, 2,000 years later, literally reenacting the same thing, of which the side of justice, the side of righteousness, versus the side of evil. So I want to get your thoughts.
Well, it would pretty much be... Well, as a Roman pagan, you know, we celebrate things in areas, not particularly specific days like Easter, even though there are celebrations like, for example, this is the month in which we venerate fertility. Hmm. Tomorrow would be Fornicatio. So we don't have the exact same celebrations, but we do celebrate with you. It's not like, you know, we don't like, oh, what is this Easter? Of which you speak. And what's all these bunnies?
Sidebar, just real quick, for all the people that are going to be seeing edgy things on social media about the Christian Easter means blah, blah. The term actually used biblically and in the early church, of course, was Pascha. It's a Greek term. So please discount all those edgy anti-Christian memes for this weekend.
Oh, we was pagan. The Easter belonged to pagans because of word.
Because of, yeah, my word.
Yeah, because of word. Yeah, no. But going back to what you were talking about the Jews in the Roman era, you can find texts written by generals in about 150 BC where they're talking about Jewish subversion and the threats that they pose not only to the... Not only to the Republic itself, but the people and the spirit of the people. In about 150 BC, the Jews came in and tried to build the first church, or rather Temple of Jove, which was their first attempt at monotheism towards pagans, and nobody wanted to break statues of Jove. They were all petrified of it. So a senator at the time threw off his toga and went in and just like busted in the doors and broke everything and said, nah, son, these Jews are causing some problems here. And that's 150 BC. So by the time of, you know, what you're talking about, we've already reached a point now that, you know, at that point during Barabbas.
Yeah.
Barabbas, where the Jews had already gained such a stranglehold over the Republic that it was an empire. Much like we see today when you hear Sarah Silverman saying things like, I'd kill Jesus myself.
I wish we'd do it again.
Yeah, I wish we'd do it again. They're at that point right now, that same point that they were at before, where they've taken the Republic and turned it into this empire. And now, literally, if we were to see Christ return again, as you said, most modern Christians that are not nationalists wouldn't even recognize him and would probably crucify him again.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's an interesting point. There's a story, and I forget, oh man, there's someone who's got to crucify me for not being as well-educated as I should be. But there was a story written about Torquemada, of course, who was the first Grand Inquisitor of the Spanish Inquisition, which was launched to fight against Jews, Jewish subversion within the newly liberated Spain. And basically, it lays out this this story of Jesus returning and the Inquisitor saying that Jesus' message doesn't reflect basically what his values are, and sending him off to die again. And it's an interesting thing, of course, that's against, you know, defending ourselves and against traditional values. But here we are in the modern age where I really think when Christ says, when he says to the Jews that you are sons of your father, the devil, when he kicks the Jewish bankers out of the temple, when he calls them every name in the book because they are serving Satan, they are serving rebellion against natural law, they're serving rebellion against God and all of his principles. How many of our evangelical neighbors would cry out, crucify him, crucify him? I mean, the ones that go every single Sunday, every single Wednesday night to church, that are relatively good people, but they have been brainwashed by the Jews. They've been brainwashed by the Jews. We know this Christian Zionist nonsense is a modern invention because the Jews needed a way post-World War II to ensure that they could get the a population of the United States to defend them. They could have an entire nation of golems that they could animate to fight against their enemies. How many modern Christians would cry out, crucify him, crucify him, if Jesus came back and stood against the Jews? Because they have been lied to and manipulated. And that just goes to show the power these Jews have on a physical, political level, on an economic level, but also a spiritual level, that they, you know, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, but it also helps poison go down. And, you know, they wrap everything into feelings. You know, Christianity is about duty. It's about duty to your family. It's about duty to your neighbor. It's about duty to your countrymen. It's about duty to your God. It's not coffee with Jesus. I mean, we've talked about before, like, Jesus is not like the stepdad trying to buy your affection by getting you a new bike. You know, God is the King of Kings. He's the creator of the universe. We are here in order to be soldiers in his army. He's not here to give you a bunch of stuff. I was having a conversation actually with an evangelical just last week, and he was complaining that, you know, oh, I follow the word, but God isn't blessing me. I need more money. And I said, Chief, you make over $100,000 a year. And he goes, well, I know, but, you know, my family, we want to have a bigger house. And I was like, but you live in a huge house. You've got all this money. You're not being a proper steward of it. You're throwing it away. What are you doing? Like, how are you not being blessed when you make more money than probably 98, 97% of the world population? And he just got glum because, and his faith was struggling because to him, his faith was based on this American idea that everything is going to be okay, that, oh, that God's just going to provide endless physical things. Missing the sake of duty, of what Christianity is. It's about duty and responsibility. And while God loves us, of course he does, that's not even a question, we are here to serve not only him, but our brothers. You know, St. Philaret of Moscow, of course, famously said, love your enemies, fight the enemies of your nation, and hate the enemies of God. And you tell that to a lot of modern evangelicals and stuff like that, and they'll be blown away. You know, there's a difference between Larry, who, you know, took your donut that was supposed to be for you in the break room and maybe snacked on your lunch a little bit, versus the guy that's coming in to try and rape your daughter or destroy your nation, or those that are actively working against the moral health of the nation. Those are two different things. Larry is your personal enemy that you've got a beef with, that as your countryman, you should love and find a way to be able to work your issues out. That doesn't mean letting, you know, I don't know, Satanists march down your street. There's a big difference there. But again, this is this perversion. These are these Jews like calling for the crucifixion of Christ. they rile the crowd up with their lies and their half-truths in order to get us to push a Jewish agenda. Now, Jason, I want to turn it back to you to discuss the, of course, we have biblically Pontius Pilate's wife. You know, we know within the Roman pagan tradition, dreams are very important. And of course, there's a long history of dreams being a way to be able to connect with the supernatural, to reveal truths and things like that. And a Pontius Pilate's wife saying that that this is a good man, that, you know, that this is not something that should be allowed to go forward. I want to talk a little bit about that with you, about the role of dreams and what that, when you see those Bible verses, what that means to you as a Roman pagan.
Okay. well, in the case of Jesus and Pontius Pilate's wife, you have to understand that anyone in this empire at the time is much like it is today, that it doesn't take a whole load of dreams to understand that this guy didn't do anything wrong. Majority of the Romans understood that, but they just didn't say anything, in the same way that no one says anything about the Jews today. We just won't do it. When we see somebody who legit didn't do nothing, you know, like when people are getting, for instance, being thrown into prison in Europe for tweets, we know that these people didn't do anything wrong, but we don't say anything. We don't do anything. We don't have any revolt. Nothing. For all we know, you know, and I'm not trying to blaspheme here, but for all we know, any of these people who are doing nothing but speaking the truth could very well be the return of Christ, and we would be throwing them into prison.
Yeah.
So that's just on that end. But the role of dreams, that's such a that's a little bit more of that's more of a psych thing that I can't really. How much time you got, buddy? There's so much psychology that goes into it, but you know, neurology is also connected to spiritualism. You know, that's all intertwined. There is no separation between the spirit and your mind. It's sort of like the same deal, but it doesn't take any great prophecy or any great vision to tell when a guy is a murderer, thief, rapist, and when a guy who's just there talking.
Yeah,
you know, it doesn't take a great man of virtue and high moral to figure that out.
Well, and you know, I mean, you just look again the Jewish system. I mean, look at modern America. What is capitalism? It's the worship of wealth above all else. It's materialism. And when Jesus comes in and he's in the temple with the apostles, and he looks, and there's all these Pharisees, these rich, dirty Jews, right, who have these big bags of money that they're giving to the temple. And there's a widow, and a widow comes in. You know, she's very impoverished, very, very poor, and she has two bronze coins that are basically worthless, that almost nothing. But she comes forward and very humbly gives those as an offering to God. And Christ turns to the apostles, and they'd heard what these Jewish leaders said, that, oh, well, they give so much money. Oh, they follow the fast exactly as they're supposed to and give the percentages they're supposed to. And look at all this wealth they're giving. He says, forget them, that this widow is the one who is truly giving the most, that has truly given the most to God. And that is totally opposite of what the Jewish system tells us is supposed to be our accepted worldview. Because, no, it's the amount of stuff you have that's pleasing not just to God, but to yourself, to your community, and things like that. And you look at the Jews, they don't really believe in an afterlife like pagans do or Christians do. It's all about this life. It's all about getting as much stuff as humanly possible and being able to make lots of money. And Jesus says the exact opposite. No, no, no. It's about the spirit in which you give. It's the spirit in which you live, caring for others. That if you have nothing to give, but you give what little you can, you know, also in the temple where there's the Pharisee and the publican, and this Pharisee, again, this is such a Jewish mindset, where he looks at this publican, you know, this tax collector, and says to God, like, thank you for having me be born, you know, as I am, not like this publican over here. And the publican comes humbly and repents for his transgressions against his neighbors, against his God, and just breaks down in tears and rends his garments and asking for forgiveness and wanting to live a better path. And you've got the Jew who is saying, oh, well, at least I'm better than him, Lord. Look at this guy. He's dirty. He forget him. You know, look how much better I am. That Jewish spirit is one that poisons the West. This is not just it's a Jewish spirit, but it's not just manifest within the Jews. It's so common within our modern society. So, you know, I want to know your thoughts on that in terms of money, but also in terms of action, where everything in the West is judged on how much you have or how much you're better than someone else. And it's really about serving self, where the religious perspective, both for you and for us as Christians, and as nationalists, is about service to others, about giving whatever little it is you can to take care of your neighbor. That's virtue versus, you know, self-glorification.
Yeah, I've said this a few times, is that the Jew has found a way to basically exploit every single virtue we have. And wherever we had what might be considered gaps in our understandings, they like to fill with their garbage. There's a line between, you know, really liking material things, but also understanding that you have a spiritual connection to the world itself, that you don't worship the world, but you are a part of it. That's not to be ashamed of any of your successes, but also to be humble in them. That's a big part of it. That was a big part to the ancient Romans. It's a big part to us now. But they come in and they exploit one because they have, you know, obviously more territory in earthly affairs, because their master is the one currently ruling this apartment we're all living on. So that's what they do.
Well, and I really think, you know, that when we talk about, you know, fighting against our internal Jew, you know, Cornelio Candriano said that, you know, a nation has the Jews it deserves, you know, and the Jews grow in the swamp of our sins. So, you know, for our listeners, regardless of your religious persuasion, whatever stranglehold, whatever claws the Jews can get into you to pervert virtue, pervert your application of natural law, is a victory for them. I mean, that's what they're trying to do. That, you know, I said this before on the show, that if every Jew disappeared right now, well, we still have these gaping wounds within our families, within our communities, within our nations, between our relationships with one another as members of the same national community, but then with peoples around the world, that fighting against that inner Jewish spirit is so important. And so, I mean, here we are in Holy Week, you know, the crucifixion of Christ. Christ, when he, you know, is crucified, he goes to Hades. And in Hades, you know, an interesting part of, you know, Orthodox worldview is, you know, there were all of the honorable pagans who followed their practices and searching for God, searching for truth. And he comes to them and reveals the, you know, the fullness of the gospel. Not trying to be offensive, you know, to you, Jason. But, you know, because they were searching for truth in our religious worldview. They see it fulfilled through Christ and then ascend with him. When our hymns here in the church services for Easter say that he conquered death, he broke open death, that death has no power. Death, oh, where is your sting? That by following truth, that leads you to Christ. It leads you towards virtue. And of course, you can take it from a variety of different perspectives, of course, yours. But we can all agree that an orientation towards truth will lead you in the exact opposite direction of the Jews. It's the exact opposite direction of everything the modern world tells you to believe in and to honor. It's the exact opposite. So no matter, you know, who you are, what, you know, when you're listening to this, no matter who you are and what religious tradition you follow, an orientation towards truth is a rebellion against the Jews.
That's exactly the way that I would put it. So the problem that we have in a broader sense in this struggle, cause, movement, whatever you want to call it, is when people start getting down to the details of all these belief systems, my belief system, your belief system, that's when the proverbial poop hits the fan and it no longer becomes about understanding the fundamental things of just virtue and being of high moral standard in this struggle. It then goes into all these theatrics about, oh, well, that's from a Roman framework, that's from a Christian framework, and then we get into all these esoteric arguments in which no one comes out the winner except the Jew, because we've now been separated and divided and divorced from the very thing that was supposed to unite us in the very beginning, which was being of high moral character and being walking the path of virtue. So I would say that despite our differences in framework, in the details of things like fulfillment, of the Roman faith, which is, again, Christian account, not to be offensive.
No. And it's an important thing for us to be able you know, here where we're discussing where our different religious traditions bring us, we know that we're united in terms of an orientation towards truth, righteousness, and justice. So, you know, when we have these discussions, we're not fighting one another. We're not even arguing with one another. We've got different perspectives. But, you know, I mean, if you really look at it, you know, to all of, you know, again, to all the listeners, think about this. When it comes to your average evangelical, you know, because I see these fights, Christians against pagans, pagans against Christians, all sorts of different things within the cause, that who is truly, like, you know, you just look that Pontius Pilate's wife, for instance, is far closer to us and shares the same orientation towards virtue than Pastor Bob down the street that wants to send you to die for Israel, that tells you that God wants you to have a lot of stuff and be rich. What drives us is a unity towards truth, truth with a capital T, an orientation towards virtue, cultivating virtue within ourselves and within our people. So there is no reason we should be involved in any sort of religious fights, because if you're oriented towards truth, if your compass is pointing due north, then even if someone has a different perspective than you, we're going on the same path. We're going on the same direction. And so many that might take on that label of either Christian or pagan or stuff like that, that their compass is pointing them in different directions, they're not walking the same path that we are.
Absolutely. But wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that this holy water that I bought at 3 a.m. from the guy on TV is not going to get rid of my butt warts?
Healed! No, I mean, these hucksters, I mean, you know, again, Holy Week's a great time to reflect, you know, for Christians on our faith. American Christianity has nothing to do with Christianity. I mean, that's sort of like saying that Angela Merkel and Adolf Hitler are both Germans, right? Like, they're both leaders of Germany. They have nothing in common with one another. The modern Swedish government and the Vikings, they were both Swedes, but those two things have nothing in common. Same thing when it comes to Christianity. You know, talking about true biblical and the church fathers Christianity versus modern Western Christianity, evangelical movement, stuff like that, Christian Zionism, those two things are literally as different than Angela Merkel and Adolf Hitler. Truly, purely, and simply, they are that distinct. They technically, maybe kind of, sort of, there might be some similarities. Like, both were born, well, Hitler was born in Austria, but that's where the similarities begin and end, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, with you knocking the denominations, not the confessions of Christianity, I'd like to knock at least one of mine, Nova Roma. While they are the most prominent, they are the most cucked in the universe. They're standing there wearing togas and killing animals and, you know, doing stuff that the ancients did instead of what they did. You know, instead of how they did these things. Like, we understood virtue and we understood prayer and sacrifice in a certain way back then. And even towards the turn of the Roman Empire, we understood not to do those things. Nova Roma continues to do these things and to preach things like multiculturalism and multiracial acceptance that they completely ignore all the teachings of the Augur, who are the basically the equivalent of Orthodox church fathers. These types of pagans, these are not pagans. Any universalist is not a pagan. That you know, that doesn't mean that, you know,
anyone can worship. That's what I heard. I saw on Heathens Against Racism that black people can follow Odin and Thor and stuff like that. Are you telling me that the ancient pagan traditions have been manipulated by the Jews, perhaps, to push their agenda? Are you saying that the levers of power and influence in society have been stolen and everything that's organic is being destroyed by the Jews, and it's up to us as a rebellion against the system on the grassroots and community level to keep to our traditions and hold them and teach our children and push forward so we can build a new world? Are you telling me that all the stupid infighting we see online based on who has the more cucked public group that has the kosher seal of approval is really stupid, because people need to look at what the truth with a capital T is and realize we have far more in common than we have differences? Is that what you're telling me? Because that's not what Storm Warrior 1488 said on this forum I was arguing on.
That must have been the guy that sold me this butt wart holy water. That must have been the same guy.
Healed!
Now, I could sit here and say a lot about all the different different denominations of paganism that exist out there, but I'll only speak on behalf of my own, which is the Romans, and to them, it is Nova Roma, and these guys can go blow a goat.
Which that's actually planned for Saturday.
That's probably, yeah, that's yeah, that's probably like, oh, we don't have a cow, so we can't celebrate fertility in this way, so I guess bring in the goat, we'll blow it.
Again, crudeness aside, you know, we need to remember we are oriented towards truth. And for us, you know, for those of us that are Christians, we need to remember that the Jews that called for the crucifixion of Christ 2,000 years ago are the same Jews that we're fighting today. I mean, we really, truly are fighting the exact same enemy. And if you are standing for righteousness, you know, Christ said, judge a tree by its fruits. If you're being attacked by the Jewish system, you're on the right path. And we are all fighting together for the sake of truth. So, Jason, give us a final thought to carry us out.
Don't blow any goats.
Spoken like a true, like an auger would, I tell you what. True wisdom. But no, so to all my comrades who are Christians, please have a very blessed remainder of Holy Week. Christ is risen, and go out, celebrate, make it to church, celebrate your traditions, because this is the victory of life over death. This is truth against lies. This is righteousness and God triumphing over the Jews who are of their father, the devil. So it is time to celebrate and be girded for another year that we are fighting for truth. We are fighting for righteousness, fighting for justice. And remember that those that fight for righteousness are our comrades. Those that fight against us are our enemies. It doesn't matter if they're wolves in sheep's clothing and what they say. Look at what they do and where they stand. So we must celebrate. Thank you guys for being here. I will be back next week with another edition of the Daily Traditionalist. I hope you all have a great Holy Week, and instead of Hail Victory today, Christ is risen.
You've been tuned into the Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArian.com.